Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine. Find them at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. They're serving up all your favorite wine, whiskey, and local craft beers Tuesday through Saturday. You can come visit them for live music this week on Tuesday, June 12th. Rock Paper Podcast presents singer-songwriter storytelling showcase with Joe Bozzelli, Seth Brand, and Tyler Lewis, and that's 7 to 9, $5 cover. Come on out for that show. It's going to be a great night. Real limited seating, acoustic, storytelling, listening room show. So it's going to be a good time over there. On Thursday, June 14th, you can catch Phil and Carson from the Scandaleros there. On Friday, June 15th, you can catch Dana Michael Anderson Band there. And on Saturday, June 16th, Beth Lee and the Breakups. So all these shows and more, you can be found at nakedvine.net and follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Get involved. Come out and see what's going on up here at Naked Vine and tell them Rock Paper Podcast sent you.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Bleach, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
That you don't care enough to pick up the phone. You tell me you love me repeatedly, but I see that it don't mean anything anymore. Enough to pick up the phone. You tell me you love me repeatedly, but I see that I don't mean anything anymore.
Get out of my head.
I'll never ask for you again. Get out of my head, get out of my head. I never want you back again. Get out of my head, get out of my head. And let's try a girl back again.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Bleach. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, this is very exciting for me. This is all part of the Rock University Battle of the Bands contest you guys won. This was part of the prize package, was an appearance on this show, which I was happy to help out, but I thought it was really neat. It's kind of been in the works though, because like even before that I was, you know, paying attention to what you guys were doing.
Oh, awesome.
It all works out anyway that you guys are here for that, but it's like it was just funny how it all worked out that way. Yeah. But I guess you guys want to go around the mic and introduce yourselves for those listening.
I'm Caleb. I play drums.
I'm Lance Johnson. I'm a singer and bass player.
I'm Jackson Stevens, and I play the guitar.
Yeah, man, this is, like I said, this is cool. I sort of met you guys that day. It was a kind of a crazy afternoon, but like I said, that Battle of the Bands was a little bit ago with Bleach and whatever.
Yep.
Which was a lot of fun. That was my first time getting to see the public also live.
Yeah, they're very good. They killed it.
That was a whole lot of fun.
They're killer.
It was a great time, man. That was a fun afternoon hanging out with all you guys, and you guys brought a whole lot of people out too, and like it was cool to see coming out to support and things. So
yeah,
and it all worked out. You guys won that Battle of the Bands, and you won some recording time at Gaslight Studios, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So that'll be exciting. Get in there and get some see what they can do over there with you guys and all
sure,
that.
Sure, we're excited to work with all the people down there, JB, and we met a couple of the engineers down there, so it's going to be a really cool experience. We just got done recording at Native, so we'll get to see the difference between two different studios in the same city.
I've been trying to do my own, I've recorded with several engineers and different studios around town, just trying to highlight what they're up to, as well as being a part of this music scene. But that's one of my favorites. I like going to all these different studios and checking it out. But we got a lot of really great spots here in town. So
yeah, it definitely can be scary choosing a studio, just because you got to really know what you're getting into, because you're putting a lot of time, effort, and
a lot of money.
And most of the songs that you're going to be putting into are very important to you, so you want them to be portrayed the right way for your fans.
Definitely.
You hope the studio you choose can do that.
Yeah. So you guys said recorded at Native. We've got a brand new EP coming out here pretty soon, huh? Any day should be on the internet, right?
Sometime within the next week or two.
Yeah.
We uploaded it to the publisher, so we're getting
We told them
really
to
anxious.
Put it out today, tomorrow, but it's most likely going to be out this week.
Yeah.
Coming.
Well, we got along with that, you guys are doing like an official release party over at Mozingo on June 15th.
It's gonna be a real small show, so we're waiting until about next week, and then we're gonna really push it and just see if in 1 week we can get 60-70 people out, because it's a very small room, so it's gonna max out.
Sure.
I mean, I guess you could try and hear from the outside, but
try to pack it.
It's gonna be a real small room.
Try to pack everyone in like sardines.
Yeah.
We
have balloons and
we're gonna get
beach balls. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, make it a party.
Yeah, nice. Is this your first release party?
Yes. Nice. This will be our first headline. Actually, we've just kind of been opening around for the past year and a half. You know, getting a feel for different venues and see what it's like to play with different bands. But this one's going to be real cool because we're taking control. We have our own opener, which will be Caitlin Grace and she's an amazing singer-songwriter, plays down at Picasso's on St. Charles Main Street.
She's awesome.
So she covers and writes her own music, and it's so good. It's really it's catchy, really, really
her,
great.
Her lyrics are something to really pay attention to, because
yeah.
I mean, she's just a lyrical whiz.
So yeah, we're having her open for us at the show.
It's going to be awesome. Very cool. Yeah, because I knew you guys had a few singles online and stuff, but I didn't know if you'd ever thrown a party like that. So that's cool, man. I'm excited for you guys. That's gonna be a great night. Yeah, awesome. So is that open to public or?
Yeah, it's open to the public. You just got to know, like, we do have quite a few very I don't know what word to use, but. Loyal fans, so they're definitely going to be trying to get their spot. So,
sure,
if you do really want to get there, I would consider getting there maybe even before doors open. And we're thinking about doors opening around 6:30 or 7. So, if you really want to make it out to there, and we're telling all our friends that are going to have to be there,
camp out
overnight.
Yeah, toilets.
Yeah.
What do you have a name for your fans? All the Bleach fans?
Oh, no.
No, we don't have any.
Bleachers.
Yeah. Bleachers, Believers or anything. But,
I was trying to think, like bleach stains or something like that.
I like that one.
I don't know.
I mean, we've got a friend group we like to hang out with after the show, and they're always coming out to support us. So, our moms, yes, we have moms. We're still in high school, so they're still at the shows all the time, but sometimes they like to call them our bleach groupies.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that.
Probably not.
Not like that one. That the Rat Pack. My mom calls us the Rat Pack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another one. But as far as a fan base, I think we're going to stray away from having a certain name.
There you go. Yeah. But we do, you guys wanted to give us a little sneak peek, I guess. Debut a new song right here.
This is gonna be like
this is
one of the. I think this will be the first song on the EP.
Yeah, it's the first song on the EP. First song. EP. It's called Dead Rock and Roll Song.
Yeah,
it's gonna be. Hope you like it.
Yeah. Anything? Anything you need to add or about Dead?
You want to tell them a little story about it? I mean, it's a bit like.
I'll say something. We were in a competition one time, and we felt like we deserved to win, because I mean, like, the other bands were not terrible, but it was like they all did covers, we wrote our own music, we played our own music, we tried to play it the best we could, we practiced significantly more than anyone else. And we didn't even get recognition, like, at all. So this song is just kind of about, like, you guys suck.
More of like we've worked harder, and
you've done half the effort, like, that I've done, but you get more credit.
Yeah.
So. And it's a universal topic. I mean, you can use it in an office scenario.
It's where
someone gets a promotion and you don't think they worked as hard as you, so that's what we kind of try. We try to take a certain experience that we have, and then he writes it out, and then as a band, we kind of figure out a more universal.
Yeah, I thought of it. It came with the event sparked the emotion, but it's really about more of a generalistic kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to hear too that instead of getting down and you know, giving up or whatever, you guys, it just lights the fire. You're like, well, yeah, I'm just gonna go write another song.
Losing the competition, you know, got a good.
It's usually
good
song. Works for us,
right? Yeah, man, that's cool to hear though. I mean, like I said, like I use that as motivation just to keep pushing yourself harder and you know, and at work, you guys won this the last one year at the battle, yeah. So that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So you guys, like I said, recording at Native, was that a good time over there? You guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah, recording? Yeah. It was a really good learning experience because we went in not knowing pretty much anything about how recording was going to be set up. We tried to
the first time
base kind of the setup and the order around kind of the Foo Fighters because we had seen some of those live videos from the Sonic Highways documentary about how they and how they recorded, and Lance mentioned to me, you know, I'd really like to do something like that. So we played through the song and we just kept the drums from playing through it live. And then once we got all the drums done, we would go in and retrack all the rhythm guitar and kind of build it up from there. And then he would, most of his bass was just from the live, but if he ever had something.
If I had to punch something in,
right,
just go back and fix it up.
And then we just would go from there, overdubbing vocals, harmonies, especially in the song Prescription, that's a single. You can definitely see how he used different instruments in that. So that was a lot of overdubbing, like with the organ and Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. We had tambourine.
Yeah. We with Elizabeth and Prescription, the singles that we have out on Spotify and stuff, we went back in and did edited.
Changed a few things too.
We went back in and fixed up Elizabeth and Prescription.
And we've done those on the EP.
Yeah. So, you know, if you really listen to them back to back, you might be able to tell the difference. But
especially because Prescription, we cut out the whole part of the song.
Yeah. Very cool. So the EP will be online here shortly, and we'll have the big EP release party at Mozingo and O'Fallon on the 15th. So, come on out and party with these guys.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. Let's go back a little bit, though. Like I said, this is our first time really getting to hang. I mean, I met you guys sort of that night over there at the Battle of Bands, but I guess you guys... Fairly new to this, right? As an original band, right? Has been doing all this?
Yeah. Well, me and Jackson have been in a band since we were in fourth grade. So that's like 7 years of playing music. We used to just cover terrible music.
It wasn't terrible.
Not the music, but the way we covered it.
You guys chose good songs.
Yeah. We started out piano, vocals, and drums.
That's what we had to work with. Then we would play... We started off playing like the school talent show, and then, you know, we weren't.
What kind of stuff were you covering?
One Republic, Imagine Dragons, a lot of that pop radio rock stuff that you could transfer over to rock and roll stuff.
That's what kind of got us into deeper rock. You know,
All American Rejects.
I'm obsessed with
what we grew up with. Basically, kind of came into all those covers, and I mean even going that far back, I think there's a lot of things you can hear in Lance's vocals, his melodies. You know, you hear a lot. He, especially when we started off, he took a lot from, you know, All American Rejects and
Tyson
Ritter.
Tyson Ritter and, look up to that guy a lot. Look up to Dave Grohl, Chris Cornell.
Sure.
Yeah,
definitely a lot of
big influences
for vocals that you can really hear in our music if you listen. So from that stuff, we did that, and we would play like assemblies. After teachers were done talking, they'd say, okay, here's our school band. They're going to come up and play us a song.
Yes, so we were the school band.
Did you guys have a name yet then?
We were Abandoned Subway, and we always have an argument on who came up with it. I mean, I came up with it, but...
Okay.
We had like an hour conversation about this.
Like, when he joined the band, like literally, like it was his birthday, like we had an argument like at a restaurant for like, it wasn't like full on like...
No, it was an argument. It was definitely a full argument.
But it was joking, yeah. But from there we played at Mozingo's. We did a rock camp. A couple years.
rock camps, and basically they kind of train you with four songs, a set list, and then they would then they'd have you play at, like, the first one was at Chesterfield Amphitheater.
Yeah.
And then one time, I think this was the coolest.
Yeah, we
had
us
play at Six Flags.
Oh, nice.
That was pretty cool. We played on the Six Flags stage. I actually really love the Chesterfield Amphitheater place. That was cool.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
Both are nice, yeah.
Last couple of years we did
The last year we did it was with
Ballpark Village.
Ballpark Village. Yeah. That's where we met Caleb.
Yeah.
He was...
I had done Rock University, Mazingo Rock University, like two times beforehand too, but I did it in like the winter. I didn't do it in the summer when you guys did it.
Yeah.
And I was actually, I signed up for it the third time, which is where I met you guys. And I was actually really dreading going to it because the band I was with, like, the two times beforehand had quit on me. Like, they weren't doing it anymore. So I was like, oh, I'm going to be put with a bunch of losers. I mean, I was put with a bunch of losers.
Yeah, but we are a bunch of losers. But we're cool losers.
Yeah, but it was an immediate connection.
Oh, yeah.
I walked in, I was like, I, at that time, was a very big Blink-182 fan, and he found Blink-182 from their new album, like, which was really cool, so we bonded on that at first, and then, the second time we walked into the thing, I bleached my hair, it was like, what the heck, and it was orange.
I knew him for one day before he bleached his hair.
Yeah, so, and then, that's actually how, we got our band name, is, I bleached my hair, and we love Nirvana, their first album.
Yeah, I gave them that.
So it was just a little bit of both of those. It was like, bleach, that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's easy to remember, too. Everyone remembers that.
Sure. Bleach. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I was thinking the other day, we try and, like, promote ourselves anywhere and kind of be goofy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, someone's windows were down. And I rolled down my window, and I was like, hey, you should look up our band. It's Bleach. And immediately they were like, Bleach? And I can't imagine, like, having such a long, like, another name we've thought about for one
box
slim
of
period of slim
like
period of time.
Right,
was
when
box
we were
of Popes.
Yeah, when we
so
were a
could you imagine?
Band.
Yeah, could you imagine screaming across a car window, Box of Popes, and not knowing? So Bleach is very, immediate, you know. Right. And,
Well, it's a lot cooler story than, you know, like, going through the laundry room and, or, you know.
It was annoying at first before we got really seriously into it, because, like, everybody would, every time I would say, like, oh, yeah, my band's name is Bleach, they're like, oh, so you named it off the anime?
Annoying.
There's an anime, Bleach, too. And
oh, yeah.
All this other, so we get a bunch of that stuff, and we've gotten when we played on the Viper, they were. I'm just glad. A funny joke they said was, "I'm just glad their name isn't Tide Pods." So we hear a lot of different funny jokes and connections, but I think a really cool, not about the name, but just as a band, I think a really cool story about how we started is, I was in need of a new guitar, and it was the Blue Strat. That if you've ever seen me play live, that's the guitar I'm always playing. Or on social media, you ever see a picture. And I had gone down to Cicero's when that was still open. RIP. And I had bought the guitar off someone who was playing there that night, and Lance was down there with me. And Lance looked at me, I think Lance looked at me, and he, on the car ride home, we were taking the guitar home, and he was just like, you want to start a band with Caleb? And we hadn't been in a band since Abandoned Subway, which had ended like a year or two before that. So it was just like, I've got nothing going on. Why not? So we got home, we plugged the guitar in, we were having fun, and we wrote our first song, and then we brought it to Caleb. And after that, we had our first practice at his house, and it just kind of spiraled.
Song was called Broken Home.
Pop punk phase.
Half of the lyrics were written by a friend of ours.
Yeah, Sam. She's one of our friends. She helped us out on the lyrics. But then from there on out, it was like, for me, I'm always the guy who's always heading, like, let's do this, go first. And then Jackson's always the one who hops on after. But and Caleb was definitely in for it too. But we all eventually decided we're gonna do this. Like we're gonna try to.
Make a career out of it.
I mean, we don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen, but it's what we're going to try for.
Yeah. I mean, you guys already off to a great start. You know, I've been, I definitely tell you guys, been putting in your work, you know, because like you already were on my radar, between playing Cicero's, like you were saying, and stuff, some of the stuff over there. I follow a lot of event calendars and things, so it's like, oh, yeah, started seeing your guys' name popping up a lot more. And and then what you guys just this week, did a little mini tour, you said, over to Kansas City and things.
Really cool. Probably one of our favorite bands in St. Louis, the Bad Haircuts. We're good friends with all the guys over there.
We met them all at Picasso's. We met
Tyler.
Tyler Samuels.
Tyler Samuels. He's kind of a bigger name in St. Louis, you know. Throughout the last couple of years, has really got himself out there. And throughout the last year, I think our first show was their first show at Cicero's.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we
kind
of built ourselves up off of them and off of each other, you know. So this tour, he texted me in the beginning of the school year, September, and he's like, wouldn't it be cool to do a summer tour? And you know, like how things happen, you just, it just, that idea kind of fades away. And then like a month before summer, he was just like, okay, so are we doing the summer tour? Like he was on it. And he had all these places picked out, and we emailed throughout all the places, and we narrowed down the places that we could book so last minute. So we played a house show in Columbia, which I guess isn't a venue, but it was a really cool experience.
It was fun anyway.
It wasn't like a ton of people, but it was really cool to see like a different demographic.
Sure. Usually it's quality over quantity at those kind of things. Like
pretty much.
Where people are there because they love what you're doing and stuff. And they,
right. And that was a cool thing to see. So we did Columbia, and then we stayed in Kansas City. And then we, from Kansas City, we drove to Lawrence. And we actually had a place in Kansas City to sleep. So we drove to Lawrence, played a show with a band called Shoebox Money.
Great guys.
Really good music. And then we drove back, Kansas City, slept. Came back to St. Louis, took a day off, and then we just played at the Duck Room last night, June 4th, for the last show of that little mini tour.
Yeah, so that was fun.
Definitely the best
Thanks
show.
Thanks to the Bad Haircuts, that was possible. I booked the Lawrence show, and Tyler was on top of the... on top of the rest of the shows.
Yeah, and
like I said, we're just kind of working off each other.
And then they're continuing on to go to Nashville.
Chattanooga.
But we got to stop St. Louis because we got a summer camp to go to.
Yeah. So.
Still kids.
What's that like for you guys playing Blueberry Hill? I mean, does that sink in that some of the... And even Cicero's, too. Like, I mean, there's a lot of history in those rooms. And
it is, I think the history is really cool.
Yeah.
It's cool seeing all the faces, people who've been there.
It's going to be harder to understand the history behind it, I think, until we look back on it and go, whoa, we played where they played.
Yeah.
You know? But I think the most surreal moment was definitely playing Delmar Hall.
Yeah.
There might not be as much history, and it might not be as such
it's only like 2 years old.
Crazy holy place in St. Louis, but it's a big venue, and it's an important venue to a lot of bands. And the fact that we got the opportunity to play there, I mean, I was 15 when I played there. I just turned 16.
Right.
So the fact, I told Lance this, the fact that I can't even drive to the show, and I'm playing Delmar Hall, it's pretty crazy to think about that. I mean,
we're
very thankful of the opportunity we've had, and the Bad Haircuts helping us book that, and the Saturday Brothers
headlined that.
It was awesome, and it was really cool because it was a free show.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like...
That was the best part.
Get people out there, and it was so cool because I think that was a lot of people's first show because it was free, and it's like, well, it's free, it's convenient, I'll drive down there. And I think it was cool, like, to see us on such a big stage, and it was like, wow, these guys are serious. So from then, we've had people show up at the smaller shows because they saw us at the bigger shows and saw what we were about.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's what it's all about. Yeah, hook them in there and get them to keep coming, following you around all the other shows.
Right. That's what we're trying to continue to make as big of a fan base as we can.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool, man. Well, you... like I said, we got the Mozingo EP release party, but you guys also have another show coming up. Part of winning that battle of the bands, you guys are also getting to appear at the Rock U Festival heading out here in St. Charles area this year, St. Peter's, I guess, over at the Babylon on July 21st. And I guess all three bands advanced to play the festival.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So the Bleach, along with The Public, and yeah, whatever. We got a I think Boomtown United, who are one of my favorite new bands. Right, they are so much fun. I don't know if you guys caught them yet, but they were like ska, like.
Oh really?
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's just fun to see them with such high energy, the horns dancing, and like, it's a really good time. Gorilla Theory's also been announced on that, and Out Among the Masses. So you get a lot of variety there. Gorilla Theory.
Gorilla Theory.
Yeah, they're kind of a.
That's the band that we met at that bar that we played at with Dylan.
Really?
What was that bit? What was that place called?
Schlafly.
Schlafly. Yeah, because I remember there was like four guys sitting on the couch, and we just played. And I was talking to them, and they handed me a card, and it said Gorilla Theory. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're both in a band. And
nice.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
That's funny.
Yeah, they're great. They're like reggae, hip-hop, rock. I mean, they kind of mash a lot of stuff together and got their own thing, and it's cool. Like, really good time.
Awesome. Excited for it.
Yeah.
Excited to see other people from the Rock You Battle of the Bands there.
Yeah.
Where you've been talking about... maybe playing a show with the Public in the future just because of the same age.
Right.
Same age demographic and everything.
Same type of music, man.
I mean, we played for our fans at that show, and then the people that came a little bit before and saw the Public and saw Yeah Whatever were like, wow, I really like them. So some of our friends even listened to the Public and whatnot because of their EP or album that's on Spotify.
Yeah.
So it was a really cool experience to find bands our age. I think a lot of the time... just with shows in general, we're going to be playing with the older age group, and that's okay. I mean, we have no problem with that. I mean, they're always nice and they're always cool people, but it's really cool to find someone to play with our age, because it makes the crowd that we're bringing a little bit more relatable to all the rest of the bands, because they're our age.
Sure.
Yeah.
And a group that wants to work hard too. I mean, the Public's out there playing gigs all the time too, so
yeah,
you know, they hustle as well. So same, you know, especially when you have a similar work ethic and stuff, like, so help, like, again, like you're saying with the bad haircuts, feeding off each other and stuff, continue to build something cool in this town together.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm excited for you guys. Like, it sounds like there's a lot of really cool things happening. I mean, between new music and, you know, already hitting the road a little bit and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, with people pretty receptive in Kansas City and everything. I mean, you make some new fans out there.
We didn't play Kansas City. We just
Lawrence, I guess.
Lawrence was really cool.
We
I don't know too much about like fans, but definitely the bands we played with were really responsive. And wow, you guys are young and you guys are hanging out with us, being just like us. You know, just chilling and very. We try to be as immature as our jokes may be, and as immature as we look, we try to be as mature as we can in the green room. Just to kind of portray the fact that we're out here doing the same thing. Right. Age doesn't.
We're all professionals.
Age doesn't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. I think that's it. I mean, that's a great mentality to have for sure. I mean, like, you guys obviously can have fun with it, cut loose, and be young guys. But you know, once you hit the stage, be professional about it too. So
yeah,
but yeah, we did do a little live acoustic jam. We did a song called Souls.
Yep.
Yes.
And that will be that won't be on the EP, but this is something you guys have been playing out live, and kind of want to give everybody a little.
This song we're hoping to throw on with our Gaslight Studio session. Yeah.
Guess be there.
I dig this one though. Like, this is I love Prescription and Elizabeth and stuff too. Awesome. All the singles you guys have out there, but I particularly like Souls. Like, it's got that raw blues feel to it. I love the blues, so I mean,
yep.
I can't go wrong there. But what is this what inspired you guys to kind of go this route on this song?
Oh, well,
it just kind of came out of us.
This was one of those songs we just kind of threw together, and we were just like, oh, this is...
Just came to us one day.
This is a pretty good song. We gotta... It just all happened, and
I mean, sometimes it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
got this feeling inside my chest. I'm tired of walking to an unknown address. Oh, I'm tired of walking, oh, down to the same unknown. I got this feeling inside my chest. I'm tired of walking to an unknown address. Oh, I'm tired of walking, oh, down to the same unknown. My toes are cold and my voice is getting old, and I never was told what to do. Oh, my toes are cold and my voice is getting older, and I never was told what to do. I said, what to do? Not now!
Think we have a specific way of writing. Now, a lot of people ask us, so what's your songwriting process? We don't really have a strict songwriting process. Most of it is coming in with a riff, or Lance will come in with lyrics, but there are so many songs that are written completely different. Backseat took a month to write. Elizabeth took a week. Elizabeth is probably our best and our most well received, you know, like a lot of people like that song. It's probably our quote-unquote hit. I don't know if you could call it a hit. I mean, we're such a small band. But it's definitely a favorite from our fan base. And that took a week. But then songs that are also favorites and are really important to us, like Backseat,
take a long time. We worked on Maxi for so long.
That was
so hard.
We got stuck on two verses, and we just played them for like five practices.
We had to have a chorus for the longest time.
And then
we basically were about to go into the studio like in a couple of days, and I sat down.
No, we were we finished writing the song like the night before we went to the studio.
And I sat down here, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna write at least the setup of the song. So I sat down, I took the verses we had, and then I wrote an ending to the song, and then I was like, okay, here's what I have. I have a platform. And from there, Lance just built up a chorus, and
yeah, we actually took from the ending. It was one of our old, sometimes we like to try to write a song in 30 minutes. It's a good exercise to do, and then we were like, oh, well, that's actually pretty sick.
So sometimes we'll use it. Taking from other songs. So Souls was just one of those where we don't even remember writing it. I mean, I think it took a practice and a half. You know, I came in with a riff, maybe. And
I started getting, like, major listening to blues, like, 24/7 for, like, a good month, and so did Jackson, and Caleb did too, and I was going back all the way to, like, Robert Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Is it wait?
Muddy Waters.
Muddy Hendrix. Waters. Yeah.
All those guys.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the bridge of this song, we had kind of, we had,
oh,
like,
this
the
is
melody.
A really cool song. Oh,
yeah. We had the melody for the bridge, like, a long time ago, so we were driving in the car. Where were we driving to?
We were driving out in the Baldwin area.
Where were we going?
The Awakening statue.
Oh, yeah.
By the Chesterfield Amphitheater. And we were just driving around, and Lance goes, all right, sing along with me. And he kind of came up with this little melody and these lyrics, and we didn't know what they meant or anything, but like, he started, you know, singing the melody.
And then finally got a little bit of meaning and then changed the words
and
around.
And so, like, they would do a little acapella thing, and then I would be singing a lower octave, or Caleb would, and then I'd be singing a harmony. And it was just always there, you know, I tried to write to it, but...
So we just had it, and then every now and then we would sing it again in the car just because it was kind of fun.
Yeah, one time.
And then we threw it in there, the song.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And so, like, some songs are like that. So Souls was definitely just a, why not? You know, like, let's keep writing it. So it took about a practice, and then we went home, and we sat on it, and I was sitting in bed, and I think that's where I put that part in. I kind of found the chords to go with that. And we finished at that, and we've had that song for a while now.
For the longest time, we called it the blues song.
Yeah, we didn't have
we had
name,
no name
it sounded
for it.
So bluesy, so why not
blues song? Blues song. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of bands are like that. They have a working title or whatever that they call it, but, you know, they finally settle on a name to put on the record or whatever it is. Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, some of them are pretty silly. Some of the titles people have told me before, they actually, you know, really name the song and stuff, so... So blues song is not too bad. So, yeah.
One of our friends, Tyler Samuel's girlfriend, Mary, was the one who came up with the name. She came up with it on tour.
Because we always go, oh, this is one of our songs. We have no idea what the name is.
Right.
If you have an idea for a name, go ahead and go up and tell us. So,
right.
Yeah.
Worked out.
So it's soul. It's not like a soul, but the soul of a shoe.
Yeah.
S-O-L-E-S.
I
can spell.
Well, like I said, that maybe that'll appear when you guys get in the Gaslight session. So nothing set for that, but yeah, that was part of your prize package. So hopefully we'll make that happen here soon. And
awesome.
It's a really cool thing that they got going on over there. I mean, if anybody hasn't been by Gaslight, it's a beautiful recording studio inside of a bar, so you can hang out and. In the lounge side and watch the band inside the studio recording, and it's really a cool thing they got going on over there. So, check out Gaslight. Is there like I said, the EP's coming out. You guys already did a little quick tour. I mean, what's the next thing you guys really want to do?
That's a good question. we try to write down a goal. So. We wrote down a goal when we kind of first started out playing shows, and it was Blueberry Hill. We're going to play Blueberry Hill. That's our goal. Wrote on a piece of paper, folded it up. We got to Blueberry Hill. Let's play Down My Hall. That's our goal. Wrote it on a piece of paper, got to Delmont Hall, we played it.
Out of luck. I mean, that one wasn't too much of...
But it worked. We worked for it somewhere.
Sure, you got to be in the right... You got to be in the
right place.
You have to be out there to be, you know, have to create the opportunity to be, you know, given that opportunity.
So. Right. And, just kind of working up, I mean... The thing that makes most sense to say next is, you know, the pageant, you know, Blueberry Hill, Dummer Hall, the pageant.
Yeah.
And that, as that's a goal for us and we're going to work for that, I think we want to, like, make sure we're picking our time to play that show, because you don't want to not be ready.
Yeah, if you can't pull people to the pageant show, you probably won't pay the pageant again.
You're going
to
blow it.
Yeah, you can't blow a pageant.
Our biggest thing is writing more music. Yeah. That's definitely our biggest goal. And then... getting more people to listen to our stuff. I mean, we're a new band. We've only been playing shows for a year and a half, right?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, a year and a month or whatever. So.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how much it spiraled and snowballed. And
yeah.
And then, I think the last goal we had written down on a piece of paper was maybe playing with another national act.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys got to do some of that yet?
We played, I don't know, I mean, it was pretty, I mean, it's a signed label. We played with the guys from Mount Eddy.
Really cool guys.
Up and coming, like, kind of indie band. So they're really cool guys.
They're
kind
so
of
good.
Keep in touch sometimes just through social media, sure. You know. Oh, I heard your new EP, guys. Like, wow, this is great. And just kind of trying to keep a friendship between the two bands, because I think the best thing we can do is just make strong relationships.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's... Me doing this show, like, that's, you know, exactly why I continue to do it, is the networking. The people I've met just doing this show, I mean, it's incredible. Like, and it made some of my best friends out of it. Like, so, you know, networking is a very powerful thing. So, whatever it is, between shows or, you know, even meeting somebody at the guitar shop or, you know, Picasso's, you guys said, or, you know, these different things. I mean, meeting people and making an impression, I was like, that's a huge thing. And so, is there one band in particular you guys would love to share the stage with? Do you guys have a collective, or is it all?
Are you asking for a possible band we could share the stage with?
Or like just our
dream band?
Let's go with the dream.
I mean, Foo Fighters.
Hands down, Foo Fighters.
Yep. Hands down, Foo Fighters. If we had to choose anything.
I think a lot of rock bands would choose Foo Fighters.
A more possible,
a
little more, still hard.
Kind of dreamy,
no,
way,
definitely just a dream.
No, still a little more possible.
Playing with Highly Suspect, for sure.
Yeah.
We look up to those guys as
collectively all together, that's our favorite band.
Right.
I think if you put us in a box, what's your favorite band as a band? I mean, you could go off in tangents about Foo Fighters, and I like John Mayer, and he likes All American Rejects, and Caleb likes all these other bands.
Wow.
You listen to a lot of music. Yeah. But I think, like Caleb said, as a collective group, I think Highly Suspect is just a good thing to settle on.
Yeah. And are they a trio, right?
Yeah, they're a trio.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that kind of draws in there, too. You could have, you know, kind of compare them.
It's a very cool setup.
Yeah. I think it's cool, like, that you guys are doing it as a trio. Like, I mean, it's just like, it's just, I don't know, it's fun for me. Like, I think it's cool to see you just power trio like that, just getting down. Like, but is there any talks of, like, you guys did say in the studio you included some other stuff, some other instrumentation. Is there any, would you ever do that live, bringing in some other
players? We did, Dylan Buck. We had Dylan come in. This is a friend I know from choir at my school, actually. Great pianist. Jackson had written a piano song for
I wrote an organ part for Prescription.
And a full-on grand piano part for another song, Insanity.
Jackson grew up on piano.
Yeah, that's what I played in that last band.
So I
asked Dylan one day, we were looking for, me and Jackson were in the car just talking, we were like, we need to find a pianist, we had been thinking about it for a while, and then I was like, oh, Dylan, popped my mind, he's a great pianist, really cool dude. So we called him up and he was willing, so we had a couple practice with him, Jackson taught him all the stuff that he needed to know.
It was really cool. So I think our first show in front of our most, you know, I don't know what to say, but, you know, the people that come a lot, our regulars, that was the first time seeing Dylan play. So it was like kind of a step back, like, whoa, this is like, I'm hearing the song that I hear on Spotify, like every little part.
Yeah.
And you know, the gaps. Like even little stuff, like there you hear a tambourine and the verse and chorus of Elizabeth. Me and Lance went out, and it was Caleb's birthday. We bought him a tambourine that attaches to his drum set. So the first time we were playing live, we went, and he had it tied to his drum set. And then as the verse hit, he started hitting the tambourine, and Lance looked back and goes, that sounded just like the recorded version. I mean, it was really cool to see, like, all those different instruments come out live.
Yeah. We're always trying to expand, create, like, creativity and sound, new instruments. I mean... I mean, we're, me and Jackson and even Caleb are huge Beatles fans.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I think that's the best example of experimental.
Oh, yeah.
If you look from, you know, 1965, excuse me if I'm wrong on the date, but Rubber Soul, and then you jump to 1966 a year later in Revolver, I mean,
oh, yeah.
All
right.
All that stuff is just like a whirlwind of change. And Sgt. Pepper came out the next year, and ending their career with Let It Be and Abbey Road, it's just like, wow, you know. And then you see bands different. Take off of them, so like Zeppelin and Pink Floyd, which we're getting into right now, covering one of their songs.
I'm obsessed with Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd is great. I mean, you even look at the way Pink Floyd built up. I mean, he even told me, listen to the first few albums, it's more psychedelic, but kind of like the first Beatles stuff.
Sure.
And then you get to the album Metal, and it gets really experimental and psychedelic, and then Dark Side comes out in 1973, and it's pretty crazy. So that's kind of what I want to see in our music. I think if I have a goal for myself and as a band member, I want to see our the same type of change because of experimental instruments.
Yeah, right now we're really... This EP is definitely just stripped back, rock and roll, bigger songs, like two chord, like bridges, kind of like major chord stuff.
A little bit
stuff.
More progressive.
So
some of them.
We got that stuff, but it's just, you know, drums, piano, sometimes guitar, bass, right. And vocals. And we're going to try to expand some sounds. This EP is called Think Too Much. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for it to come out.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, that's cool for me as a fan. It's cool to hear that you guys want to keep evolving too. Like that's I think that's great, because so many people kind of get
stuck in
a, you know, in a boxed in there, and it's like, but I love when one record is completely different than the next. Like you mentioned John Mayer, I mean, I think he's a perfect example of that too.
He
went from pop to rock to Americana to, you know, playing with the Grateful Dead and everything.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, you look at his first record and it's like, oh, I would hear some guy at a coffee shop play this in a college town. Then you go to his third record, Continuum, and it's just this like huge,
that's my favorite one,
awesome different instruments. And
right.
Then he gets into country music
in
his later years, and then he's starting to play with Dead & Co.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy to see, like I think that's my favorite thing to see in an artist,
sure.
Is progression. So as much as I love our sound now, and these guys love our sound, I think it would be really cool to look back in 2 years and say, wow, we were so different.
Yeah.
In a better way, too.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of being an artist, you know, part of always evolving like that, so... But yeah, I'm excited, guys. Like I said, I'm pumped for what you guys have going on with this new EP, and the fact that you guys have already done so much in just over a year, and I'm just excited to see where you guys take this thing. And if anybody knows Dave Grohl, have him hit him up.
No. Yes, please.
Please.
That would be amazing. So,
get more line, Dave Grohl.
All right.
I got on speed dial.
I think that's a lot of it, and just put it out there and see what, you know, let destiny take over, you know, like
that'd be great.
What's a self-fulfilled prophecy and stuff.
Yeah.
So but yeah, I'm so grab some come out to the show on the 15th, the EP release party, come out to Babylon on July 21st, see these guys with a bunch of other great local bands around town, and raise some money and stuff for it's all for a good cause for Rock U Festival. So, follow Bleach on Facebook and Instagram.
Bleach STL. So Bleach St. Louis.
If you didn't know, it spells St. Louis.
Yeah, STL. Yeah, Bleach STL.
Bleach STL. Yeah.
We're on Instagram, Facebook. We don't have a Twitter, but.
And I'd like to thank you, Shane, for having us on the show.
Yeah, it's
an awesome opportunity.
Thank you,
so
much. Thank you guys.
This is our first official interview.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
it is.
Very cool. That's exciting.
You can be known as the first if we ever make it.
Right. Just just don't forget me whenever you guys are riding around the country in the tour bus and
hopefully. Hopefully we will be able to do that type of stuff.
Yeah. I did think it was a funny little quick story about the STL. If you guys are familiar with modern day Zero, but they used to be called Mesh. Big St. Louis band here. Just recently got back together last year and had a reunion show, and I think they are playing Wayback Point Fest coming up here soon too.
Sweet.
One of my favorite bands from the late '90s and 2000s, early 2000s and stuff. And but they came out as Mesh, and then there was another Mesh or something like that. So they had when they signed with the label, they had the Mesh STL, and they were said that was like the worst idea. Well, luckily it's only your guys' handle; it was not the name. But people were like Meshtal and stuff, like no, it's Mesh STL. And finally they scrapped all that and they became Modern Day Zero. I just thought that was a funny story. There was so many, and around that time also there was like a group called Mest, and so they were kind of confused with a lot of different band names that are similar, but
yeah, we've definitely thought about changing our band name so many times because different other people having the band name, but
which
think,
is a
I
very common name, or because Nirvana's album, there was a another band called Bleach in the '90s or whatever.
Yeah.
It's
a there was like a Hard Times article a while back that was like, which I don't know if you guys follow that, but it's like a kind of like The Onion or something, like all this like goofy news stuff, and like, but it's a lot of it's for music, and it was like, wow, there's we're gonna be out of usable band names by the year 2019 or 20 or whatever, something it's coming up really soon. And it was like, that sounds pretty accurate, because like it's really difficult to kind of come up with something original that somebody hasn't used already,
especially a one word name.
But
you can look at anything in his basement right now.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure it's a name.
Yeah. But it's Bleach for now. You can find everything Bleach, like I said, on Facebook and Instagram, and you can get involved with these guys on there. Keep an eye out for our website coming soon, and more music coming soon. The EP set out to do out any day now, and big things are happening for these guys. I appreciate you guys taking some time out to hang, and
thanks for having us.
I'll see you soon. Thank
you. Yep. Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.